Welcome back to Dumb Nerd Thing, and we are back after a nice long hiatus. I'm really happy to be putting some episodes out. Got some stuff stored up, ready to go soon. So today we're back with a nice fun episode where me and my producer Colin are being interviewed by previous guest Betsy about Star Wars. This is an episode definitely a long time coming in terms of Colin and I being huge Star Wars nerds. And he wouldn't like me saying that, but you'll get a kick out of it. It was recorded a while ago, so it was recorded before episode 9, before The Mandalorian came out, so there is no mention of Baby Yoda, unfortunately, but you know, it's still fun times, still good informative dumb nerding out. So without further ado, enjoy the episode.
So, welcome back to Dumb Nerd Thing, a podcast hosted by me, Betsy Moline. And I'm taking over Teddy this week, because he is actually going to get the honor of being a guest on his own show. So, Colin and Teddy wanted to talk about Star Wars, and since I have only seen the original trilogy and the new ones, I can't really talk on that, so these two are going to talk about it, and I'm going to proctor it. Sound good?
Cool.
We excited?
Yeah, I'm not nervous. Are you nervous?
I'm not thrilled about this whole thing, I gotta be honest. I did my time.
So, when did you guys first see Star Wars? Because I saw it when I was 22 with you guys.
Yes.
I do not remember, honestly, because we had them all on VHS tape and my dad would just have us watch it. Mm-hmm. I do have a funny story where when my brother watched it for the first time when he was a kid, my dad turned to him after the first one had ended and was like, wasn't that crazy when the Death Star blew up? And my brother responded, "What Death Star?" So it's something that is just
always been
too far back for me to even.
Yeah.
When I first saw Star Wars, my dad wanted to show it to me, and then I don't know how old I was, but old enough that right before they got off the Death Star, which is about halfway through the movie, my mom brought out like old photos, and I spent the rest of the movie looking at those and talking over the movie, much to my dad's chagrin.
Yeah.
Then I saw Empire, hated it, way too scary.
Mm.
This is all when you were a kid.
Yep. I'm not afraid.
I mean, the Wampa is kind
of
scary.
Yeah, I was afraid of Darth Vader. I was afraid of the cave. I was a fearful child. I used to cry when people sang Happy Birthday to me. I used to cry. My mom had a sunflower pin, and I used to cry at that.
What was scary about that?
I don't know, but it horrified me. I would shake as a baby when I saw it. It's like unnatural looking. I think it's part of my trypophobia.
Oh, yeah.
That could be it.
Yeah. And how's that related to Star Wars?
And now you're back to Star Wars. So,
I have a lot of fears.
Was it something for both of you or either of you that it was just on loop, like on repeat, or was it something that you would watch every now and again, and then it just became a part of something that you knew so well?
I think it almost held like a high, it was like, it was up on a pedestal because my dad, so my dad really liked movies when he saw them in theaters, mm-hmm. and really wanted like Star Wars toys, mm-hmm. But he was unable to get them.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to get, like, a lot of toys when he was younger, and so when he became a full-on adult, I guess he was 17 when the first one came out, so that's, I never thought about that, but that's telling.
Yeah, that's...
Anyway.
17-year-old wanting toys, you can't relate
to
that.
I can't relate at all.
No, Tim would never, Teddy would never do something like that.
Never.
We've set Tim up twice since.
So. point is... So when he ended up like collecting a bunch and has a large collection of Star Wars toys and action figures and not memorabilia, just toys.
Just the toys.
although, yeah, whatever.
Some would argue that toys are a toy is a memorabilium.
So that actually kind of brings me to another question. For both of you, is it more about the movies or is it about the fandom? Is it about, because when you guys talk about Star Wars, I've now seen the original trilogy, and I still, most of what you say goes over my head. So, is it you're just so far deep into the fandom and into, like, the inner workings of it and the...
Couple things there. Most of what we say goes over your head anyway.
Yeah, okay.
That's it.
No, so, like, the fandom... There's a good and a bad side to it, as with all fandoms.
Yeah.
And with Star Wars, since it's so big, the bad side's pretty big. But, like, for me, you know, there are plenty of things that we all watch as a kid, and it's like, whatever, you know, you grow up and you got either grow out of it, or you see that it's not as good as you thought. But, like, if you go back to the movies, they're still very good.
Really, I mean, there's some of the... It's the best story ever.
It's a very, like, classic story.
The original trilogy, it's just a... It's tightly knit.
Especially Empire is, like, a really well-made movie.
Yeah, but from the perspective of someone who didn't see it until after and doesn't have the nostalgia associated with it and doesn't have any relationship to the fandom, they're good movies. They're fine movies. Harrison Ford's hot. Don't worry. But...
A lot of people say I look like him. Actually, I'd rather have people say... Why don't they say I look like him? Then have people say he does look like him, and then people say I don't see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, why don't people say that I look like Harrison Ford?
Yeah, I don't see it though.
Yeah, I think
that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
So, from my perspective, they're good movies. They have a well written script, and they have a lot of fun. But they're kind of just kitschy 70s movies. But obviously, they represent this huge love and huge passion, and they inspire people to make huge changes in their lives and get really, really into this, you know? And so why do you think it became this lightning rod of just huge fandom and allegiance to it, you know?
Well, I got nothing.
I think a big reason for the popularity of it is that it hits a lot of different notes across the board, where and it's not specifically about any one thing, you know, where you have the action, you have the adventure, you have the romance, you have, like, the fantasy, you have, like, the sci-fi, you have, like, the greater world, you know, you have this, like, big universe being created, you have the creativity of things, you have the special effects of it all, and then you have, like, the kitschiness of it, and like, people say, like, oh, Star Wars is just, like, the fall of Rome, or the prequels are about, like, George Bush and the Iraq War, or whatever, or, like, whatever, but there's
so... Or the new ones are about Nazis?
Yeah.
People say that, right?
Yeah,
Well, the old, like, ones are about Nazis, that's why they're... Stormtroopers.
Yeah, they're literally stormtroopers, you know. And, like, but there's nothing there that's consistent throughout all of them that makes it, like you can't be, like, oh, it's about this. Because there's, for everything you think that it's about, there's something else there that contradicts it or also could be about. And so everybody's finding their own thing in it that they really appreciate. Or that really hits home for them.
Yeah, and I think with Star Wars, too, just what I've observed is it brings people together and it brings people to have something to talk about, especially a lot of men I know, it's, like, something that they all know. So, for you guys, how soon into your relationship were you talking about Star Wars constantly, and how much has that become something that you guys share as friends?
Oh, I don't let anybody know.
Yeah, I didn't even know he liked Star Wars until today.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
You've
never
talked about Star Wars. Yeah, that's so wild. You two have never, ever watched, talked about it, anything. Never forced one of your friends to watch it with you.
And as much as I think it sucks that it's such a huge marketing, like,
machine,
it's created so many things for people to be able to share and, like, have a history with, because, like, Colin and I played through Lego Star Wars. I mean, can I say that? Colin and I played through Lego Star Wars.
You could bleep my name.
The Complete Saga, which it was, like, an incredibly long game. We almost 100%ed it. And we've also...
We did.
We did 100% it. And we've played through, like, Star Wars Battlefront 2, like, multiple times.
Like, yesterday.
We did it. We literally played this week through it. Like,
Not yesterday, but the day before.
During the last podcast, he was playing his Star Wars game on his phone.
No, like, it's not. I've never
played. No, he wasn't.
I was looking up stocks and football stats.
Like, as much as it sucks how much it's permeated our society, it creates, like, something to share with other people.
And also, like, when we were growing up and when we were seeing Star Wars movies, that's when the prequels were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was 4 when Episode 1 came out. I was the perfect age for Episode 2 and Episode 3. I don't remember how old I was then. And I'm not going to do any math.
I'm pretty sure I dressed up as Boba Fett for one of the prequels, which
right.
is great.
But I went with my dad to see, you know, my friend had a birthday party. We saw Attack of the Clones. And then I was in love with Star Wars. I loved Anakin. I loved all the shit with the prequels. And then I grew up and I realized, holy shit, those movies are so bad.
Yeah.
They're all unwatchable. They're mm-hmm. they're an unwatchable mess. But I think most people love Star Wars just because of the originals. They were able to, like, make a connection with the characters. Like, people love Luke, people love Han Solo, people love the story, even despite that everything after has just been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars is
including
produced...
the new ones.
Well, that's another
conversation. That's a complicated answer.
Yeah. But it's meant that it's stuck around, unlike, you know, I don't know, there were a ton of, like, sci-fi movies that came out in the 70s and 80s that we don't talk about anymore, and we, like, people don't have conversations or like, bond over as much, but that's because they didn't continue, they didn't, like, persist, even if it's been... kind of a horrifying persistence. Star Wars exists nonetheless.
It still exists. Certainly it still exists. Certainly it's still in the zeitgeist and there's still news about it and still there's new movies coming out and there's new world building that they're still doing.
But I don't think that has anything to do with the fact that it's like a sci-fi thing. It's just that Star Wars could have been like anything else and it still would have been like the same movie because it has all the elements of, like, you know, good characters, mm-hmm. a good story arc. You know, all it is the hero's journey. It's a really simple, tight story. That's why I say it's perfect, because it is what it sets out to be, which is just an archetype for a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, people like Star Wars, like, the same reason they like The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
When you're saying Star Wars, you're referring to the first movie?
The original trilogy. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows that the original trilogy is just the first movie 3 times. You could see it if you just when it came out before all the other ones were out.
Yeah, and like I think there was a lot of magic in those. And you know what, I'll out our opinions of the new movies a little bit of that.
We should discuss this. We should get into this discussion.
Okay, but I want to say this as a preface to it, is that neither of us have been huge fans of what they've been coming out with for a while. And
in a not racist way.
Yes. Neither of us have been fans of a lot of the story choices that have been happening. And also, like, the Star Wars fandom itself has gotten a lot of negative press, you know,
yeah.
for, like, doing horrible shit.
Racist,
I mean, it's been small people, but, like... And it really soured us on like being interested in Star Wars for a while. But then we got tickets to go to the Star Wars Celebration, which is a Star Wars convention here in Chicago. And we got there, and I was like kind of worried that, because I was like, I haven't really like been watching Star Wars stuff or playing Star Wars stuff lately, and kind of felt the same way.
I feel very disconnected from
the fandom, yeah.
And we get there, and we see like a parade of people all dressed up as like an extra from the background scene of Empire. And
guy
like they
runs
all
past holding an ice cream machine.
And,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so we see a parade of them like running through, and like we see people dressed as like Darth Maltini. It's Darth Maul, but he's holding like a martini.
Took us forever to figure out what that was.
And like all these people dressed in these awesome outfits, and like all these people just loving Star Wars and making stuff for Star Wars, and it just like just warms your heart.
Yeah, I think that with any fandom, people can choose to be a la carte with it and say, these are the parts I like, these are the parts I don't. And I think Star Wars is a really good example of that, because there's so many things that are within the canon of Star Wars that most Star Wars for lack of a better term, stans don't like.
There's not a lack of a better term. There's fans.
I think stans is more lack. Accurate. No, because like you can be a fan of Star Wars and not be a stan of Star Wars. You two are stans of Star Wars. You're not happy about it, but you are.
I'm not happy about the...
I am what you say I am.
who you are, you say I am.
Yeah.
It's a boring video.
I was doing Jesus.
Christ? Jesus says this?
Yeah, Jesus says that.
We're cutting all of that.
I'm not a Bible stan, sorry.
We're definitely cutting that.
I'm not a Bible stan.
I'm not.
I'm not a shirt.
But yeah, so you guys went to this convention and you kind of reawakened your love of the fandom of Star Wars or the Star Wars in general? Because you both felt like you were disconnected
I think we could say that we have no love for the fandom of Star Wars.
Well, it was...
We have love for...
Luke. And
there's a lot of cynicism I think we were both feeling about, like, about Star Wars about, in like... About liking Star Wars,
yeah.
And all that, and I think it renewed, like, I don't know, an appreciation for liking Star Wars. And
yeah, I think it's tough with
because it's. Yeah.
I think it's tough with any fandom, and Star Wars has a big target on its back because it's such a big one. When new movies come out, and you hear about people being gross and being racist or homophobic or whatever it is, you know, and with Last Jedi, that was definitely the narrative: is that Star Wars fans don't like it because they're racist,
right.
And it's hard to associate yourself with that, but it's also hard to have an... So then you kind of get tricked into having an opinion of being like, well, it's a great movie and it's beyond reproach, you know, because otherwise I'm outed as someone who has bad opinions, but...
We'd have a sign in our apartment for a while after The Last Jedi that was, please don't ask about Star Wars.
Yes, I forgot about that.
I remember that.
You sent me that picture.
Talk about it. Because, there's like a narrative pushed... And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's something pushed by, like, the Disney marketing or whatever. I mean,
absolutely.
That's this conspiracy hat on. But, like, they definitely understand the power of, like, using social movements to...
They've weaponized representation discourse.
Yeah. The movies themselves have felt all way too corporate and way too, like, designed to be safe and enjoyable by everybody or like with the fan narrative in mind. I mean, I'm kind of talking in broad strokes here. That it's just been, it
feels
disingenuous
boring. When it comes from Disney.
Yeah. And it's just been boring is the thing. Is this like nothing like
the movies are not the representation.
Oh yeah, sorry,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
The movies have just been boring, where nothing new is really happening, and like as much as the prequels are horrible on almost every level, they're unique. They're unique and new.
They tried a lot of different stuff.
They tried.
Here's the thing: we're prequel apologists, and I still will tell you that they are unwatchable.
They're unwatchable movies.
Yeah.
But like George Lucas was. Even in an interview was like, Disney wanted to make a movie for the fans. I didn't want to do that.
With the new ones.
With the new ones. And I think that's something he's held for a while, especially since fans continued to send him death threats for years.
Yeah. Poor George Lucas.
George Lucas really is the tragic hero of all this.
Yeah.
He's, brings this all together.
He's the one who suffered the most.
Mm.
Yeah.
From Star
George
Wars.
George Lucas, if you're out there.
If we can get him to work.
I'm sorry.
Because he's one of the more funnier.
Yeah,
we've
never had
we
a character
had.
Like that before. It's a quote from George Lucas.
Behind the scenes features of the Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah. About Jar Jar, right?
You are good ear. Shout out to Betsy
Thank
Mellon
you.
For getting that reference.
I have watched that clip of George Lucas.
If you use our promo code, Betsy Mellon, you can get 20% off on
Jar Jar statues. Jar Jar Taco Bell cup toppers. You can get 20% off.
You say top
cup toppers.
Toppers.
I said cup toppers.
Hope
so
we cut this.
The question now is, you both said that these movies were introduced to you by your dads and were something that we shared with, like,
oh god, I just got it.
I'm sorry. Oh no! It's all crashing!
Alright, cool.
Mama!
Strike!
I'm freaking out!
And have been
like watching the green bar go up.
Cool. I feel like that was a really appropriate reaction.
You're
but
saying.
In the future, you say like you're saying that you have a lot of things that you love about Star Wars and a lot of things you don't so much love. What are the things that you want to share with people and you want to bring to new people and like introduce them? Because like I said at the beginning of this podcast, is you two introduced me to the original trilogy and wanted to watch that so I could see it for the first time. What are the things about Star Wars that you like to introduce people and that you like to show off, you know? Because sometimes when you get really in deep with a fandom, there's things that you really
like,
love and things that you really
hate. Besides the original trilogy?
Yeah, like what about the original trilogy? What is it that you're trying to share?
It's so hard to introduce people to Star Wars because even if you haven't seen Star Wars, you know all the big moments. You know I Am Your Father. You know...
Whoa, spoilers! Sorry, hard stop.
Can you imagine someone who's never seen Star Wars getting this far in this podcast?
I can't imagine anyone getting this far in this podcast.
Shout out to our 16 listeners.
Whoa, 16.
Hey, I'm the producer. I know these numbers.
But like, what is it about Star Wars that you still want to share it? Because like, I think it's easy to talk about all the problems that you have with the fandom, but the fact of the matter is it's still something that's really important to the both of you, and why is it something that is important for you to share and to continue being a fan of, and continue it being something that you're nerdy about and something that is one of your dumb nerd things. Listen to Dumb Nerd Things, wherever your podcasts are sold.
Use the promo code Betsy Mellon for 20% off Jar Jar Cup Toppers.
Would you like to go first?
No, I would not. I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
I guess the...
think it's funny that...
Alright, no more.
We're done.
Go ahead.
So, like, I feel like with a lot of, especially action-adventure movies today, I mean, there are a lot of great movies coming out today, these days. You know, it's not like, I'm not some old fuddy-duddy.
I am. No movie, no good movie has come out since 1992.
Okay. anyways. But I feel like a lot of, like, action-adventure movies aren't able to, like, go from, like, come from a genuine place and show and like take itself not it's when I say seriously I don't mean like dark and gritty, I mean just like take itself seriously where like we don't have to joke about
it's genuine. I think that there's definitely a fatigue right now, especially of action adventure movies and cough cough Marvel, that it's like, yeah, we're making an action movie, but come on!
Can you believe that this is happening?
Yeah,
like when they rescue Princess Leia when Princess Leia meets up with them and she's like, yeah, do you think you're gonna save me?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, yeah, that's like they go and she's badass on her own. They come to rescue her. They get out together. They just make it out. Like, it's a nice, real, exciting, genuine thing. And we don't.
I'm a big hater of self-referential humor.
Yeah.
I think that it is the...
Star Wars is a straightforward movie.
Well, the originals are. Yeah. There's a lot of self-referential humor in the newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels out of place.
Your mom jokes.
Yeah, there's a your mom joke right when episode 8 starts. It was a...
Oh, yeah.
It was hard to watch.
I've seen the two new ones.
Well, what the...
Yeah, Star Wars stan over here. I love the movies. I have not seen the prequels. But what were you guys, and this might be too big of a question, but what were you guys hoping out of the new trilogy, and what would you still want to see from it?
When I was in the Star Wars for a while. I realized somewhere towards the end of my middle school era that I was more interested in girls. So the Star Wars took quite a back seat.
Shame.
Yeah, how dare you?
For shame.
Let's just say I
And what
it worked.
And what has served you better over the years?
Turns out girls have undermine me and just ruin my life at every possible turn.
Shout out to any girl.
Amanda Seyfried, call me back.
Amanda Seyfried in Mamma Mia, call me back.
Can I re-say that?
Yeah.
I realized that I was more interested in talking to girls.
Females.
Than
don't say that.
Than I was in Star Wars. So Star Wars took a back seat. And then I was a sophomore in college, which... or was I a freshman? When did episode 7... It came out... Sophomore year of college.
Yeah, it was sophomore year.
If you want to find out how old I am and dox me, my address is...
You said you were 4.
You already said about the prequel.
My address is... Street. Anyway, I was super excited for it. I thought it was going to be... Everything was good again. I got right back into Star Wars. That's all I was watching on YouTube, like different Star Wars videos, like top 10 mistakes you didn't notice.
Yeah.
That's when I started to realize, like, oh my God, like... The prequels, which I hadn't thought about since like 2007,
being a child, yeah,
are
not
good. These are I don't understand how these movies got so bad. Like there's just no comparison. But I love the originals. Anyway, episode 7 came out, and I was.
What were you expecting of it? What did you want? What would have been a good episode 7 for you? Because I think now the consensus is like, oh, they shouldn't even have made.
The things I didn't like about it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the. The self-referential 2015 era humor,
yeah,
which it really took me out of it, and I didn't like the rehashing of it. And they killed Han Solo. You know, spoilers. What am I? You know, I can be upset about that.
Yeah.
But I said, okay, I didn't love it. I didn't really like it at all. But I have hope that the other ones will be good. I saw Rogue One, and I loved it for, like, a week, and then I couldn't tell you a single character in Rogue One. Couldn't tell you anything that happens. It was pretty
boring and forgettable. Did either of you see Solo?
Getting there. But I said, even though I didn't like Episode 7, I have a lot of... I still think Episode 8 will be great. It'll be a great movie.
Why do you think that?
Because Star Wars is great.
Well, one thing I think a lot of people were excited about was that, like, people talked a lot about how they wanted, like, a single director's vision for the movie, and they brought in Rian Johnson, who was, like, an indie director. Like, he directed, like, a couple movies.
Did he do Looper?
He did Looper.
The other guy?
Like, no, he did Looper. And then, and so it was like, this is going to be this
guy's vision.
New vision.
JJ not the singular vision of the seventh
one. He was very... It was a lot of studio influence.
Disney had a lot of...
They were reintroducing
this
whole franchise.
And it was a lot of,
like,
appealing to the fans.
It was a lot of, these are the things that have to be done in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Gotcha. And most people took it for... Not took it for granted,
well,
but most people...
Well, also, did they have to kill Han because Harrison Ford was out?
Yeah.
Well,
Harrison Ford
was probably out
to kill Han
because they
ago.
Killed Han.
Yeah.
He always wanted it, but he didn't... It's not like he had a say, I don't think. I mean, he had some sway because he's Han Solo. But,
And then episode 8 was coming out.
Episode 7, people were like, that was the way to get back into the franchise. Now we can take it into a new direction. And episode 8 came out, and it opened with a your mama joke. And I remember saying on the day of, I'm like, it's going to be awesome as long as it's not funny.
And it was so funny.
It opened
it was
with
funnier
a joke.
Than 7. And I'm using funny every time with quotes on it because
yes.
It was not
it
funny.
It was intentionally funny.
Yeah.
And I just sank into my chair and
I mean,
let
like,
the madness unfold.
Like I was saying about the being genuine, like, if you take the scene from episode 1 that is mirrored in episode 7 where Darth Vader comes into the ship from the first Star Wars where he comes into the ship and he's interrogating Antilles.
And he chokes him.
And
he's
chokes
not even,
him.
He's not using any force. He chokes him and he yells and he throws him down and everybody's
on edge.
Boom. Darth Vader, scary, you know. Empire, intimidating, you know. It sets a tone.
Easy.
But episode 7 opens up with a joke about the trope of, like, who talks first? You talk first, I talk first.
Episode 8, but yeah.
Episode 7.
Where
Poe's on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
where
yeah,
Kylo
yeah,
Ren
right,
comes
right.
into the village. And it starts out, like, really nice where, like, there's all this violence and there's this desperation to escape and all that stuff,
with
and then he gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then he sits, and Kylo Ren's gonna interrogate him, and it's like, Who talks first? You talk first, I talk first. Like, that immediately that, is just
that's
like...
That's right when it...
It took the air out of the tires.
That's right when it took...
Yeah, out. Like, how... I'm not going to take any of this seriously anymore, you know?
Yeah, well, I will say, as someone who isn't into Star Wars at all, who's seen the original trilogy after I'd seen 7 and 8. 7 and 8 was my first ever Star Wars movie, was 7. And I liked both. I thought they were both fine, but they felt like Marvel movies, you know?
Exactly.
And this is the thing. I like Marvel movies, but that's what they are. It's very specific. It's a very specific humor. It's a very crowd-pleasing humor. It's having the character wink to the camera and say, like, we're in a movie right now, but... And it's just...
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to buy Coke products.
Yeah.
That's... But I don't mind jokes. There's jokes in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
C-3PO's funny. He, you know, the way he walks
It's a very different, specific... kind of joke.
Well,
though.
That's what they do.
It's
driven.
Jokes at the fact of, aren't I the hero right now? And it doesn't, you know, like, aren't I really being the protagonist? And it doesn't feel like anyone's in a movie. It feels like they're actors, you know?
Well, the whole point of the jokes in the new ones is that they undercut the moment and they undercut the seriousness. And that's why I didn't, like, that's what I didn't like about it because, so I didn't like episode 8 because, yes, like, they do all these things to subvert expectations, which is what I don't.
Whatever.
That's not the problem I have with episode 8. It's that every time something happens, is that they undercut it and they say like, oh, like this big thing happened, but it's actually fine. It's actually not a big deal.
There's very little weight to a lot of what happens.
Exactly.
And I will
yeah.
say that with the original trilogy, there's a lot of weight to everything that happens. The stakes are really high, but there's never a part of any of the Star Wars movies where you feel actually stressed or actually like, oh, this isn't going to work out for the heroes.
I was stressed when I saw it. So
but you know that it's going to get resolved. You know that they're going to come back and Oscar Isaac is going
to
look right into the camera and say,
don't
worry,
to buy
I'm
Coke
still
products.
The good guy, you know?
And I think when talking about like what to do next with the series, and I some people out there, shout out to Red Letter Media, Rich Evans, give me your number, say that Star Wars is very limited and you can't make any other stories out of it. Personally, I disagree because I've read like the old expanded universe, like some of the books and video games, stuff like that. And like some of them are pretty shitty. Some of them have some good stuff in them. But like you don't have to focus on these things that the fans love. You know, you don't have to have the Millennium Falcon. You don't have to... All right, a little bit of technical difficulties here on Dumb Nerd Thing, but that's okay. We got it all sorted out, and I believe...
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Well, that's fine. How are you?
And how are you doing?
You don't
have to focus on them.
I believe I was saying, you don't have to focus in these new movies about all these things that the fans loved. The fans love Darth Vader and the Millennium Falcon without any preconceived idea of them or without any, like, build-up to them. Like, it was just something cool. And, like, with these new movies, there's not a whole lot they're putting in there for us to actually, like, get invested in and think is cool. I mean, like even with the old characters, because even the old characters, barring Luke, they're doing the same thing they were doing 30 years ago. Like, would Han Solo really be wearing the same jacket?
Yeah.
Like, in 30 years, like, you wouldn't, like, couldn't you do something new? And, like, that's what they did in, like, a lot of the books and video games is they progress these characters to something.
And you know what makes me the most mad is they know it, too. They know that, like, the Millennium Falcon, they didn't, like, on the first try, like, get the perfect design for a ship. It's because the Millennium Falcon looked like what it was, and then you love Star Wars, so you love that, too.
Right.
Because it's part of it. You would have loved anything new as long as it's, you know, it's part of a larger story and it's good.
Yeah.
But it's just they're focused on short-term profits instead of, like, long-term, like, creating, like a just something lasting.
Like, the lightsaber is cool because it's given a lot of weight in the story and the characters give it a lot of weight and it's a part of, like, really important scenes where Luke confronts Vader for the first time or Obi-Wan sacrifices himself. And sure, it is really cool, and lightsabers are a lot of fun, but, like, just, like, you can't just make more lightsabers equals more of the same feelings.
Yeah, but
you know?
Kylo Ren's has too many lightsabers coming out of the sides.
But, like,
but Count Dooku's was curved.
Here's the thing. I actually really liked Kylo Ren's lightsaber because it has, like, a bit of a story thing to it where he created his own lightsaber, and it's really shitty, so it has, like, exhaust ports to, like, let out things.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
see, that's the thing.
What?
Here's the thing. There's a lot. There could be a lot of interesting stuff with this new trilogy.
Yeah.
Like, Kylo Ren created his own lightsaber, and it's kind of fucked up, so that's why it has, like, a kind of a cracklier blade, and it has exhaust ports for the blades.
Those aren't other lightsabers?
No, it's just, like, so, like, he has, like, a crystal.
So, like, if it slid down, it would hit that instead of, like, hitting your arm?
Yeah, I mean, that it works for that, but, like...
But it's not another lightsaber.
No, yeah.
I thought it was three little lightsabers.
And so, like, that's like, an interesting thing, and it kind of works with his character as kind of, like, a shitty...
So...
Try hard, whatever. And that's interesting, you know? Finn, as a stormtrooper, like, who's defecting, is interesting, but then nothing... Like, happens with him. You know, he doesn't even care about killing...
The same character for two movies in a row.
I think that Seven did a good job of introducing a lot of interesting concepts and interesting world building. And then, again, from my perspective as someone who hasn't been that inundated in the fandom and doesn't really know that much about, like, the whole larger mythos, it just felt like it felt intentionally like, okay, we're going to undo everything we just did. And it didn't feel like it was like, okay, here's a satisfying conclusion to that story. And like you guys were saying, yeah, it subverted my expectations, but not for any real end.
Yeah, it's not, like, okay, so Snoke isn't the big bad, he's nothing, okay? So Kylo Ren is the big bad, but then Kylo Ren wants to, like, he doesn't want anything to do with the First Order, he wants to get rid of the First Order, get rid of the Rebellion, all that stuff.
So then he makes the First Order.
So then he starts leading the First Order, and he decides to go attack the Rebellion, like... What's even... Nothing changes, and it ends up with nothing. Nothing.
But it was all worth it for them all to blast Luke in a super hilarious moment where blood is everywhere, and there's no music, and then he does a little dirt off your shoulder.
Yeah, when Luke does the thing. I mean, like...
That's what Star Wars is all about.
Like, at least with Luke, like I said before, like, Han wore the same jacket for 30 years, from according to Force Awakens. But, like...
We got a new one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he got a new jacket.
But that was the big thing.
Like, he was still a smuggler after all these years. Luke rejecting the Jedi, awesome. Luke, like, being, like, a huge recluse who is like, I'm tired of this shit. That's awesome.
They did a great job with Luke when they were serious about it. Not when he's like, well, I came to this island to die. That's great. When you hand Luke the lightsaber and he throws it over his shoulder, and there's a sound effect, and then he silly walks away. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's just...
Well, that happened.
Yeah, like, I just want something new and interesting that I can invest in, you know?
Well,
like,
it seems like, for a lot of people, that was Rogue One. It was like, here's something new and different, and they're all, and like,
Rogue One...
There's a lot of fan service in Rogue One.
There's a lot of fan service in Rogue One.
It seems like there's a lot of fan service in all of the movies.
Yes.
It seems Rogue One. It seems like in the prequels there was very little, and so then they overcorrected in the new ones.
There was, for the time, it was a lot of fan service, but now it's...
Prequels, and they have both, it's both fan
like
service
Yoda
and like
Chewbacca on the same planet.
Yeah,
prequels
are weird.
Can you believe?
For the first time ever.
God, we've never seen that in a Star Wars movie before, you know?
But, yeah, no, Rogue One felt, we always say this, the best fan film, the best Star Wars fan film ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as though it was made by fans.
Yeah,
yes, like, it was made by someone
who loved Star Wars,
and, you know, maybe didn't make the most, like, emotionally connecting movie. There were parts that were pretty good. I wish that I wish that some stuff had more gravitas. I wish that there's a little more romance. But when I was watching it, I thought this is a good movie,
because it takes itself pretty seriously.
Well, at least it's a movie.
Exactly.
You know, so many movies now aren't movies.
They're comedies.
They're
comedies and ads.
They're TV shows where the character does the Zach Morris time stop and looks right into the camera.
Zach Morris. Saved by the Bell.
I'm thinking of. What's the Bo Burnham show? Zach Stone.
Zach Stone!
He's gonna be famous.
Great show.
I never watched it.
Bo Burnham in Star Wars, you know? Just do it.
Yeah, fuck it. Burnham in Star Wars. That's what's gonna be episode 9.
What would it take in episode 9 for you guys to be like, okay, they recorrected, they spun back into the slid, now I think that they've done a good job with this trilogy of making a satisfying story.
That ship has sailed.
It's too late for the trilogy. Absolutely.
They could make a good movie.
So that's your priority at this point. But they won't. Please just make a good movie.
But they won't.
Who's directing this one?
J.J. Abrams again. It should be noted that Betsy made a face.
The ooh face.
The emoji with the mouth that's like.
Yeah.
It's like it's that too late because
emoji.
Like, okay,
emojis is the plural, or if you're Italian, emojo.
Like, episode 4, A New Hope. Luke is a farmhand, and he's given this idea of becoming a great Jedi warrior, and he starts training, and like it's like that's the journey he's gonna go on, and you're invested because he's a genuine like character, and he goes through a lot of troubles and he goes through a lot of trials and tribulations to get there, and the second
hero's
movie
journey almost
hero's journey, and then the second movie he's a little closer, you know, and he's a little cocksure of himself, but he's trying, he's going through these things, and you're following him on that journey. And then by the time you get to episode 6, even though episode 6 has some like pacing issues and all that,
but I mean, when we talk about I don't think it's fair to put the issues of episode 6 on the same pedestal of the issues of
any of the other ones.
But yeah. What I'm saying is that like when you get to episode 6 and Luke is a Jedi master and has full
Jedi
power,
Knight.
He's a Jedi Knight. He's a Jedi Knight, like his father before him, like. He has reached this like pinnacle of his journey from the first movie, and that's a really fun, really fulfilling like story to watch.
At least
these three
it
movies.
Has an arc between, and yeah.
When
well,
you talk about,
you don't really have anything like that
with the newer movies. I was just gonna ask you this: who's the protagonist? Is it Rey or is it Finn or is it Oscar Isaac,
Rey.
Whose character I cannot remember? Poe.
Poe.
Or is it Adam Driver? You know, like it feels
it's
like
Rey, and then it's Finn in his own arc.
It really felt in The Force Awakens as though Finn was going to be a larger part of the narrative, and then it felt like in Last Jedi, he literally got put out on an island, and they were like, you hang out over here, the plot is happening over here.
Yeah, and there's this weird
thing. Which is a strange choice for your protagonist.
Where, like, they really, because people really liked Kylo Ren in episode 7, and they really, people were really talking about him and Rey getting together for some reason. Well, the reason is that people are horny and like a bad, and like a bad boy.
Shout out to people being horny.
Star Wars is the horniest franchise.
And yeah. So then. In episode 8, they like really played with that and they teased that and you know teased it.
You're 23. Get a hold of yourself.
Get it together.
But like the thing is that it takes place one day after Kylo Ren murdered Han Solo, the father figure to Rey.
Last Jedi does.
Last Jedi.
There's no time in between Force Awakens and Last Jedi.
Yeah. So. Rey sees Kylo Ren murder Han Solo, and then he tries to kill her. They're in a horrible like fight, and he's absolutely terrifying.
A third act battle, almost.
Yes.
Almost.
And then she goes off and meets Luke, and then she starts, like, flirting with Kylo.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Yeah.
This is, there's no through line with these movies, and they've even said behind the scenes that like, J.J. Abrams said that there's not really a, like, there was never a plan for the three movies. They're just doing what they do.
But it's so indicative in the character of Kylo Ren because his character is so like different in almost every scene. Like sometimes he's like a, you know, just a straight up Darth Vader bad guy. Sometimes he's like a brat, not like in the, you know, just like a typical villain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
he's like a
bratty, like. Heir to the throne kind of guy. Sometimes he's like a we need to talk about Kevin kind of guy.
That's a lot heavier of a movie to bring into Star Wars.
Well, you know what I mean. He's like a truly
Kylo
fucked up.
Is like I've seen this take, and maybe you guys haven't or have, but I've seen the take of like Kylo is like a more updated villain because he's like a cis white male who thinks that he's entitled to the throne despite the fact that he, you know, and it's like, well, they're trying to update it, and like, the scariest people are people who think that they're entitled to power when they're not, you
see,
know?
See, here's the thing is, I think that's totally fine because like with the old Star Wars and now modern Star Wars, you can't really say it's about one thing. You can read that into Star. You can totally read that into Star Wars, and that's fine. That's
but not. I don't think that that Disney is really consciously putting that in.
Yeah,
it's much more blatant.
I think Kylo Ren is definitely one of the more interesting characters in the new series, and that's because he's different and he has a motivation. The problem is that the motivation gets very confused a lot.
Yeah. Now,
but
it's,
like,
especially.
But like,
it started off as a motivation.
Yeah.
It's something new.
I think that, and again, I don't know if I have credence to speak on Star Wars and what it should be, but I think that they did a good job in Force Awakens of introducing a lot of new characters who had interesting arcs set in front of them, and a lot of interesting people, but it feels like they're constantly weighed down with the baggage of, well, we have to continue with the people from the original trilogy, and we have to keep it being a story that people like, something that people relate to, and something that people is still going to please all the fans and be all that, and I think the movies, you can feel the baggage. You can feel the fact that these characters have to both represent who they are and who they're representing and who they're supposed to be and what people, the fans, want.
Like, Poe, Oscar Isaac's character, is a hardcore rebel pilot. But he also has to be the Han Solo. But that makes zero sense to make him the Han Solo. He should be just his own character, but he's constantly trying, like, they have to make him a rebel, kind of, in Episode 8. And I think a big, like, I love the idea of Finn as a stormtrooper that defects, but I don't know how long into the movie, but pretty quickly into the movie he decides to defect and he decides to run and he escapes with Poe and he kills a bunch of stormtroopers.
Yeah,
and it's like wait, so you're are realizing that you are a person and you're enslaved by these people to be a soldier for them. And you have no qualms about, like, horribly murdering these people you were raised with since you were a baby?
Yeah.
Like, you're totally fine with that, and there's, like...
Yeah.
It's not that that's a bad part of the movie.
It just is indicative of...
That's something, that would be something that would be so good to explore.
Yeah, and instead it's just, like washed over.
It seems like the new trilogy to you two is a lot of wasted potential. And I think that a lot of Star Wars fans feel the same way, where they wanted so much out of it. And that's tough. It's tough to make a trilogy that's still going to harken back to something that's so beloved, but also be something new and something interesting. But I think what I'm getting from both of you is that you wouldn't have cared about the minutiae of the plot as long as it was something new and something interesting. But instead, these characters that had potential to be completely new archetypes had to fall into the original trilogy's three archetypes.
Which I feel like is how a lot of people felt. Like, we weren't old enough to feel this, but I think that the people who were old enough felt this way with the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do the same thing, but on a not a micro scale, but they did the same thing for their time.
Yeah. But it was a bit better because they didn't have the exact same people. Like, Darth Vader was in it, but he was Anakin, he was a human, he was like a regular guy, like... Obi-Wan's in it, but he was young. Like, I don't know. Like, Yoda was in it, but he was in a different context. These new movies have the same characters in the same context. And for me, hot take, if Episode 7 had one character from the original trilogy, I would be much happier. And if the Millennium Falcon was not in it or got blown up and it just moved on to something else with the same universe and maybe, like, with the fallout of the original trilogy, you know.
Here's something for you. You know, when they're walking to the ship and she's like, oh, that ship's just a piece of junk. Mm. And it's the Millennium Falcon. And she's like, let's go to this better ship. And then that ship blows up. She's like, never mind. The garbage will do. What if it was switched?
They went to the Millennium Falcon?
That blows up. They have to go to this other ship.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I like the Millennium Falcon is only cool because
Han Solo drove it.
Yeah, exactly.
And we spent so much time in it, and so many things happened in it.
L337 is inside the Millennium Falcon.
That's the droid from Solo.
We did see Solo.
We waited a month and a week.
Can I talk about Solo?
Yeah, I was gonna ask because Tim was saying he's like, oh, it would have been better if they just picked one character. Was that not Solo? Solo, they picked two characters and they're like, okay, here's their backstory.
Chewbacca.
I was counting Solo and Chewbacca.
Lando. That's right.
How is Donald Glover?
Well, let's ask your question.
Yeah, so Solo was an opportunity to do that. They're saying, okay, we're picking few characters. You know, mm-hmm. It's not the entire cast is coming back. We're picking a few and we're doing a left side story. It's before, but it's still within the universe, but it's something completely different. But you two, you're saying you both saw it.
So when
what
Solo
did you expect and what was it?
Was coming out, we were like, to us, that was the ultimate, like, Star Wars is dead. Like, who wants to see Han Solo's story has been
Han Solo died two movies ago.
Right. His story's been told in the originals.
He should have died in Empire.
I don't follow Star Wars stuff, but even me, someone who vaguely follows pop culture, knew about all the backstage director changes.
Yeah,
the
and there
changes,
was so much bullshit
and,
behind
here
it.
Out, he's out and he's out and acting lessons for the main character.
But that,
and all
I mean,
stuff.
But that's I don't want to burden the movie. With
it's a
that.
It's a movie that was released with a lot of baggage already, which is tough.
Yeah.
Even without that, it seemed like a movie that was just there was no purpose for it. It had no like no telos.
Mm.
It was just not something interesting. It was just not something I was interested in seeing. It was something that I was actively avoiding because I felt like it would ruin the character of Han Solo.
It's almost like for those at home that don't follow Star Wars too much, like Captain Marvel made sense to come out before Endgame. You know, because it was like, oh, this is going to be the character that's important in this next movie. It'd be almost like after Endgame they made him, or not after Endgame. It's like if in like 3 years they made an origin story about Iron Man.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly, you know? Right. I mean, we're laughing, but that's totally what it was.
Yeah.
And so I said to Tim, he thought I was crazy. I said, I'm not going to see Solo. And he was like, you're crazy. You have to see it. And I was like, nope. Like, when it comes out, like, I'm gonna skip it. I'm going to be fine. Like, and he's like, how do you not see it? I said, I'm doing it right now.
I think that was something that a lot of Star Wars fans felt, mm-hmm. though. I think that was something
yes.
that a lot of people did. A
well,
lot
here's
of
the thing.
Huge
is...
fans of the show, or the show, the series.
It's a show.
The series were like, this is the final straw. This guy is not my Han. That's not what I relate to, and I don't want to see this, you know?
Well, Harrison Ford just did it perfectly. You don't want to... You can't have someone else do Harrison Ford. Like, that's been proven. But even besides that. So eventually I, you know, of course convinced him. We didn't see it. A month and a week later, which... I know it seems like no time at all, but for us...
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Especially with box office numbers, it had already been like, Solo's a bomb.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, cool.
Fuck it. Let's just see it.
Yeah.
But, and I gotta say, I mean, it has a lot of problems.
Mm.
But it wasn't that bad.
They did
tell an original story. There's stormtroopers.
There's
in
no
it.
Force. There's no Jedi.
There's no
force, which would make sense.
There's a big spoiler at the end, which is
oh, there is a Jedi.
A Jedi.
Well,
there's a big thing at the end, which we
there's a horrible cameo.
Again, I don't think that anyone has gotten this.
Yeah, fine, whatever. They throw
fan.
In Darth Maul
Darth
at the
Maul's
end.
At the end, which is just
I knew that.
Yeah, which
it's
is like a
so heinous. I mean, obviously
it feels like
a
Marvel cameo Easter egg for whatever.
It's obviously setting up for Solo 2, which it now is not going to be
duo.
Made. Duo, of course.
but
it was an original. So it sucks because it was like an original Star Wars story in a Star Wars universe, shockingly. And then the only thing we were excited for was at least Donald Glover is going to do a pretty good Lando.
Aren't they making a Lando movie?
No, not anymore. They
that was talked about at some point.
Yeah, probably. they announced the Star Wars slowdown. Thank God.
Well, isn't Ewan McGregor gonna make an Obi-Wan movie too?
Also rumored, not gonna happen. Boba Fett movie, not gonna happen.
Well, we don't want to date this podcast, but
that's true. As of
2019.
As of National Chicken Finger Day 2019.
As everyone's favorite day of the year, National Chicken Finger Day.
I'm a chicken finger aficionado, and this is the first I heard of it today. But anyway,
you should do a Donald Glover thing on chicken fingers.
The point is, we were really excited to see Donald Glover's performance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me say this. So before we saw the movie,
I actually went and I watched some of his, he was a guest star on SNL, and they did a sketch about Lando, and it was kind of funny. It was like the, it was like a conference that Lando was hosting for black people in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And there were like two people in the audience.
A funny premise, which I'm sure SNL ruined.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. Donald Glover's doing like an SNL impression of Billy Dee Williams in this.
Yeah.
That like totally fits for Saturday Night Live as like, it almost felt like, who can do a Billy Dee Williams Lando impression? You can? Okay, you do it. All right.
And that's how the whole movie
was. It felt like he was not my favorite. I was really looking forward
his
to
his part is not his... egregious though.
No.
All the characters are fine.
They do some weird stuff.
Alan
where,
Rick,
like,
whatever
he's obsessed
is...
with capes, which is like the most
Lando
fan
wore a,
thing.
Wore a cape once.
Lando wore a cape once, so he has always worn capes his
Maybe
entire life.
Maybe he wore
life.
A cape twice. I can't remember if he wears a cape.
He
in
wears
life.
A cape in
it,
but it's
just,
part of the general
it just,
outfit. In
it feels like with Star Wars, a lot of the time they're like you said, it's for fans, but it's like. Not even for fans, like for the fandom. And it's like, oh, the fandom loves that he wears capes, so that's going to be his thing. And it's like, the reason that it was able to become an inside joke within the fandom is because it wasn't something that was original.
It's not,
like, looked directly into camera and said, well, Lando loves
right.
capes. You
yeah.
know? Because
it's
those
not made
the
by
that,
fans.
Those aren't the things that fans latch on to. Fans latch on to things that you wouldn't otherwise notice.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least fandom, people well within the fandom typically latch on to things that are... You wouldn't even notice, and it's like, isn't it crazy? Wore capes twice, you know, and then
like we were saying earlier about the ice cream maker guy, the guy who's in Empire. Everybody's like running or trying to evacuate the city.
Wilrow Hood,
and Wilrow Hood is a guy in an orange jumpsuit, and he's carrying an ice cream maker machine.
I heard about this, yeah.
And he runs past the camera for less than a second.
Yeah,
and every year at a Star Wars convention. 20 to 40 plus people dress up like that and run through.
It's called the running of the Wilrow Hoods.
The running of the Wilrow Hoods.
And
that's amazing.
The
but that's the nature of fandom is it's like, it's saying, oh, we both love the movie so much that we notice this one weird oddity in it. And it feels like with the newer Star Wars movies is that Disney has taken over and is trying to manufacture moments like that. And that's really hard because what fans don't want a movie... that is saying, oh, here's the ice cream guy, let's put him in every scene, because you like the ice cream guy. You want weird little moments that feel like a genuine movie. If it's like, oh my gosh, was that just a guy on set who had an ice cream maker? You know? And those are the moments that are so...
And they have the guy in the pink shorts with the boom.
Oh,
mic.
Yeah. There's a behind-the-scenes photo from the first Star Wars movie where they're filming in the desert, and the guy holding the boom mic
Tunisia,
is...
I think.
Yeah, somewhere, and is wearing... pink booty shorts and nothing else.
And he's holding a boom mic. It's just a picture of him like standing over the set. So people dress up as that guy.
Yeah.
Like that's amazing. And you cannot manufacture that.
No, and
can't.
It just feels like it's a, and maybe this is just 2019 cynicism in general. It just feels like those moments are fewer and further between because every moment has been picked over by a marketing agent and has been picked over by the publicist of the movie and want it to be the most crowd-pleasing as possible. So you get less of those genuine moments of, like, just weird or, like...
You talked about how you heard, you know, someone who doesn't know Star Wars, you heard all about the, like, behind-the-scenes drama of Solo and how, like, they went through a bunch of different directors and, like, the script was bad. But, and I don't even think it was for Solo, but in one of the Red Letter Medias, one of the Half in the Bags, they talked
Rich
about...
Rich Evans, call me.
Yes, call him. call him Fry. they talk about how, like, yes, you hear about all this drama, but when the behind-the-scenes featurette comes out, they're going to talk about how everything, like, what... It was just such a magical experience to work with everyone, and they're making something that's old, but it's new again, you know?
It's about family.
It's about family.
But, like, and that's part of the thing is, like, with the appreciation of all of Star Wars, like, you love the original trilogy, and George Lucas is kind of the face of it, but a lot of people were involved. And then the prequel trilogy was just George Lucas. And you watch the behind the scenes, and it is just George Lucas. It is George Lucas with a bunch of people who are very intimidated by him and will say yes to everything he says.
In the prequels?
In the prequels.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, the narrative
he has complete control.
The narrative of the prequels, from what I've seen, is George Lucas was a good director who didn't know what he was doing for the original trilogy, so he had a lot of smarter people telling him what he should be doing. And then it was such a runaway success that he got to the prequels, and he was surrounding himself by people who weren't going to tell him to do anything differently. So he got in a place where he was the one vision, and he was also trying to make a movie that was going to be as successful as the original trilogy, and he didn't really necessarily know how to do that beyond...
He just had no one to... Like, it's not even that he was a good director who didn't know what he was doing. I think he...
He's a very talented director. But the problem is that
he just had people to challenge him.
Yeah.
To say like, oh, like to bounce ideas off.
No
him.
Film is
a
single director's vision, and like, yeah, especially with something as big and crazy and hitting so many different things as Star Wars, like you need a lot of people supporting you and all those people to have a good idea. And I guess my thing was that like, George Lucas had an actual vision for the prequels, and that's something that I can appreciate. Like, as much as they suck, there's not, like, manufactured moments this is the new fan thing.
There's very little pandering in them.
There's pandering, but there's not,
in the
like...
the prequels?
Yeah.
There is a lot of pandering.
There's pandering, but it's not in the same way
as
like
before the internet.
Yeah, where like
everyone's shoved into their New Hope starting places.
Yeah,
Darth Vader's the thesis of it.
Yeah, but like
there's a lot of pandering for sure. That can't be forgotten about just because it's not as blatant as the sequels. It's in there, absolutely.
But it's in this other way, and there's a lot of other new different stuff supporting it. Where like. There's enough unique, new, interesting stuff in it that a TV show was able to be created out of it that was very popular in the Clone Wars.
Clone Wars was a good show.
Multiple video games came out of it in the Battlefront series and like the pod racing game.
A million video games.
Million video games came out of it that just created... Even stuff like The Old Republic builds on the visuals and the like... ideas that come out of the prequels, you know, or like the look or ideas that come out of, and like that's because it was a new unique thing that he was coming up with, and he had his own vision for it.
There's new stuff to riff on. There's new stuff to think about.
I can't even think of what like new interesting stuff could come out of the prequel series right now.
The sequel series
to come out right now, like, because it's just the same. It's still the Empire versus the Rebellion. It's the First Order and Resistance. The Stormtroopers look the same, and they are effectively the same. You know, the Clone Troopers, as shitty as an idea as it is, it's a weird thing that they're all clones of one bounty hunter guy that were created in this weird, shady business deal.
But they are.
Like,
I mean, they do... I mean, they look pretty close to Stormtroopers.
They do look like Stormtroopers, but they fulfill a different purpose in the story.
Yes. Now that's...
They fulfill a purpose of, like, a good army that turns evil. And the new Stormtroopers are just Stormtroopers. So, like, what do you...
Yes, but Gwendolyn Christie had a shiny costume, so you have to understand that
you're
that's
right.
different.
You're right. She did have a shiny costume.
What was her character's name?
Captain Phasma.
Phasma.
Yes.
It is exactly. Phasma.
I don't know which one.
I had to think for a second of whether or not it was Phasma.
We've seen a lot of red letter media.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, Rich Evans, text.
Please text us.
Teddy Fry at 123@gmail.com.
Rich Evans, email me at dumbnerdthing@gmail.com.
Dumbnerdthing@gmail.com. Write in.
If you have Star Wars opinions and you're mad at me for my Star Wars opinions, email me.
So all Star Wars actors should...
No! No!
Bad!
Bad. Bad.
Okay. Are we ready to be back in this now? So that actually brings up a question for me. What, in your opinion, is the best Star Wars content, the best medium, the best thing that you like the most about it? Because you've talked now about video games, TV shows, movies, barring the original trilogy.
Oh, so not
out
okay.
the original trilogy.
Yeah, because obviously that's the core of it all. Mm. But what do you think has come out of Star Wars that has been the best, and like that's what you want to see from more of the expanded universe?
Let's say I've read a lot of the comics that Marvel has been putting out since Force Awakens started coming out, and they came out with a new character named Dr. Aphra, and she's kind of like a more selfish Indiana Jones in the Star Wars universe, and she's a very interesting because it's able to it's a great lens to look at Star Wars lore through like a less boring way, and a lot of the comics have done a great job of filling out the universe and filling out characters and making characters really feel like they are who they are, and kind of filling in the blanks that the original trilogy left out. But they're still supportive of the original trilogy. When it comes to like post that, there's some books like the Thrawn trilogy, which are
is that any good?
Yes, but
perfect. That's all I needed.
Yes, but there is a scene, and you know what? I gotta tell you guys about this.
You show this to me.
We're gonna hashtag get into it.
So there's a scene in the Thrawn trilogy. It takes place a little bit after Episode 6, where Luke is hanging out in the Jedi Temple, or he's hanging out in the new Senate they've established, and he's talking about how he's having this new drink that Lando introduced him to. He's like, uh-huh. It's like this really weird new thing, and it has this unique taste that he's never had before, but he's not really sure how to feel about it.
Yeah.
And then C-3PO comes in, and C-3PO is like, Master Luke, what are you drinking? And he's like, it's this new drink that Lando introduced me to. It's called hot chocolate.
Ugh! That hurts me physically, and I know very, very little about this whole world. Called hot chocolate. Ever heard of it?
And then I was listening to it through an audiobook, and there are several chapters where Leia goes to hide on the Wookiee homeworld mm-hmm. of Kashyyyk, and
we know you're a nerd about it. You don't have to prove it to us.
Not just a nerd, a dumb nerd. and there's a Wookiee on Kashyyyk that has a speech impediment that allows them to speak English or speak basic, but they do it with a Wookiee accent.
Going over my head.
So there, basic is what
is English.
Is English. So there's a Wookiee that's able to speak English, and in the audiobook he does it, and he's like, "Princess Leia."
Oh, I hate it.
You have come to our Wookiee homeworld.
It's literally like Lupita in fucking Us. Once upon a time.
Yeah. But like, that introduces like the Empire as more of like a strategic threat, you know?
Yeah.
There's like a clone of a dark Jedi that comes in that creates like a new kind of threat for Luke. And there's like the problems of setting up a new government in the wake of the Empire falling and like dealing with the Empire's remnants. These are all really interesting story elements potentially that are completely thrown away by the new trilogy.
Yeah.
And completely ignored so that they can have the same thing that they've always had.
So are you two of the opinion that after this sequel trilogy is done, they should just take a break on Star Wars movies for a minute?
That's what they're doing. Yeah, absolutely.
You think it's just oversaturated at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, people, like what Tim said. He said that Star Wars is not, like...
It's counterintuitive to what you think of a fandom. You think that a fandom is always wanting more content, and is like, oh, if only we could have more...
Let it die. Like, at least let it die with the little dignity it has left. No, but Tim says Star Wars is creatively bankrupt. Tim says that Star Wars is not creatively bankrupt because there's a lot of good things that come out of it. I'm going to say
it's creatively bankrupt.
This concept of Star Wars is not creatively bankrupt, but that's in a world where it's not owned by it's possible.
Disney
it's possible to make another, like, to make more
run it
content, but
Disney has creatively bankrupted it.
It's impossible for Disney. It won't happen. Disney has put it in a position where nothing new or good can come of it, unless there's a total changing of the guard. Let's really hope. Let's fingers crossed. If Disney Plus fails,
We all hope Disney Plus fails.
If Disney Plus fails, that will be a huge.
Which sucks because they're coming out with the Mandalorian on it, which is like a show about a random bounty hunter in a random corner of the galaxy, which could be good because it's nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
But it's a new story. Could be good. It's on Disney Plus, though.
But here's the thing. Are we the first people to say that we want a new thing from Star Wars?
No.
Are we the 50th people to say? Are we the millionth people to say?
Yeah.
Not even. There's countless people have. That's what everybody's saying, is we want something new. At this point, Disney has heard it, and they're like, okay, we'll give you The Mandalorian. So even though it's new, it's still a product of fan service. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that.
Also, the Salacious B. Crumb is on a spit.
Oh, yeah.
Salacious B. Crumb is the rat that sits on Jabba the Hutt's lap in
Revenge of the Sith. You know the guy that goes,
yeah, I did only see the movie once.
When was it?
With you two, probably.
Yeah, I don't know if she actually even saw Return of the Jedi.
She did.
When?
We watched it.
The one with Jabba? I saw the one with Jabba.
Okay, well, he sits on Jabba's lap. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
I didn't pick up on it, so sorry. I also certainly didn't learn his name.
Yeah.
I once won a trivia game by knowing his name.
It's really good.
We're very proud.
Salacious B. Crumb.
Salacious is a good first name.
Hmm?
Salacious is a good first name.
Yeah. The B is silent.
Closing thoughts.
Yeah.
On Star Wars.
So, closing thoughts on Star Wars. What now do you want from the Star Wars universe? What would make you guys not be angry at what they've given you?
If they, like, striked from the record everything that wasn't the original trilogy.
If George Lucas came out in a press conference and said, that was all fake,
and they had
lied.
They had people, like, come to, like police officers, like, came to people's houses and destroyed any content that wasn't the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is absolutely impossible. That is also impossible.
Yeah, as if Colin's suggestion was any way probable.
But like a video game with a new story that, like, actually kept my interest and did not rely too much on the new trilogy or anything like that, and started telling a new kind of story. I say that even though they're coming out with something like that.
And they already have.
Kind of boring.
Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
So,
Knights of the Old Republic.
I'm talking about now. Come out now.
I know.
Knights of the Old Republic is awesome. Something like that would be great.
I think the nature of being in any fandom is having it be a la carte and picking the things that you care about and you like and that means something to you and just hoping that people don't ask you about the things that you hate.
Yeah. Also, you know what? Give me a Star Wars with, like, no white people.
None of them.
Honestly, yeah, I would like that. That would be a lot more refreshing than the bullshit they're shoveling down our throats.
A Star Wars with all white people and one, you know, not white person.
There we go.
Brought to you by Disney.
So
that white person is CGI. That non-white person is CGI, though.
We couldn't get them on set.
Please
sorry.
Cut this.
Keep making me cut. Take fucking notes.
Anyway, so, do you want to do the outro or do you want me to?
Hmm?
Do you want me to do the outro or do you want to?
Let's all do it.
One, two, three.
This is for listening to
the thing with your host.
That about wraps up our discussion this week. I was glad to be your guest host. And Tim, take us out.
Thank you for listening to Dumb Nerd Thing. We are trying to put out more. I'm putting out.
I'm your producer.
Hey, you're my producer.
I'm trying to put out more content. So if you have any questions about previous episodes or episodes you might want to see, hit me up on dumbnerdthing@gmail.com. That's dumbnerdthing@gmail.com. And you know what? Stay dumb and stay nerdy.